from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Voitin.
It is Fresh Fridays on the G and Ursula Show. Good morning to you, Ursula.
Good morning, G. Happy Fresh Friday to all of you. It has been a very, very packed show today. Mm-hmm. Coming up at 11:30, we are going to introduce you to another Seahawk. So you will hear a really fun conversation with someone who you may not know, but you're going to get to know a little bit more after Heather's newscast coming up at 11:30. And then right now, I'm trying to do some calculations because we're about to ask a question about gym membership. So I'm ready. I'm doing some brief research here.
Agree to disagree. Brought to you by Guarding Roofing and Gutters.
One of these days, we just got to take off the gloves. Just really go at it.
Is your gym membership a waste of money? Before the pandemic, a full 28% of Seattleites had a membership to the gym. But after the pandemic and gyms were closed, then reopened, of course, people are not going back. According to new data from Gene Balk at the Seattle Times, only 18% of people in the city still have gym memberships, meaning a full third of us quit or gave it up. That makes Seattle the seventh highest number of quitters. Only six other cities where people quit the gym more than us. So, G. Scott, I got to ask you.
Yes.
The gym membership, that a waste of money, man?
No, it is not. It is not a waste of money. And here's simple reason why. Number one, how's that treadmill that's in your house? You use it a lot because it's really hard to work out at home. Hence the reason why there's a lot of pants that's probably hanging on the treadmill, or there's some boxes that's hanging on the treadmill. Let me repeat this again. Now that the pandemic is over, this is why on OfferUp, you see so much home weights that are on for sale or for free. Everybody's like, come get this out of here. It is easier to work out at the gym. You go to the gym, everything's there for you. It's your membership is anywhere between $30 to $100 a month. It is well worth it, Ursula.
I just did the calculations. Don't come at me, okay? So if you have a family membership, let's say your gym membership is now $150 because, you know, that gym has this really nice pool. Should you go and use it, there would be available to you. It has a nice hot tub or a sauna. So it's $150 a month. That makes it $1,800 a year. And if you go, like, on average, six times a year, that's $300 each time I go. So, no, it is not worth it. And that's why they love it when people sign up around New Year or during the pandemic, because you have all these great ideas of everything that you're going to do to just change up everything about your life and start afresh. And I love that feeling, and I love that people do that, myself included. But there have been endless studies that show within a few days, or, you know, the pandemic's over, and that gym membership has largely gone unused. Mark, long live Mark, and his name is apropos for him. He's really good about going to the gym. He will go three or four times a week. But even that, I look at it and go, is that really worth it? Because
yes,
we're paying a family membership. My kids are gone.
Yes, it is. So even if your family membership, Ursula, is $250,
a month. Yeah, it's $150.
Okay.
Still a lot.
Oh, it's $150.
Yes.
Here's my question.
$1,800 a year.
Here's my question. I had to pull this out. I had to go there. I could have pulled it out during the MedVed interview, but I decided not to. I'm still thinking about that. Is $150 a month worth it to have a better life?
Yeah. I would
okay.
Say absolutely.
Mark is doing great.
But yeah, that would be worth it if people went. But the fact is that over 50% of people who have gym memberships do not go at all. Most people buy gym memberships as an aspirational thing.
Yes.
Just like the treadmill that I see sitting out on the side of the road by my house every week. Or the Bowflex equipment that's on the side of the road.
Or the guitar that I bought during the pandemic.
Yes, because I'm going to pick up
I made this grandiose statement that I was going to learn how to play the guitar, and one of our awesome listeners reached out to me and said, I'll teach you. Has that happened yet?
Gym memberships are aspirational purchases. There are things that we buy that we think, this is going to make my life better, but you never use it. It's like the magic bullet that's sitting under the counter in your kitchen that you haven't used anymore. Right? It's like
the
Ron Popeil rotisserie
box.
Oven that you haven't touched since 1997. This is the entire business model of gyms, is to have a small core of people who actually use the gym. Because if people went to the gym, you would not be able to use the equipment.
100%.
Okay. You would not be able to use
100%.
It.
I think people appreciate people like me because I don't go...
A lot of us have things that we don't use anymore. Doesn't mean they aren't worth anything.
That's true.
I'm just happy to see that people have finally seen the light. And they're like, I don't need this. Wasn't going anyway.
Does 425 win with this comment by saying, this is a stupid argument. It's worth it if you go. It's not if you don't.
That's exactly right.
So this is radio.
That exactly explains how we answered it.
We can't make a logical conversation happen here. Okay. All right. Let's move on to the White House now, which wants to make a major change in food packaging and put nutrition labels on the front of the package instead of the back. I assume in order to shame us through looking at the caloric content, the amount of fat, salt, etc. Ursula, is this going to make any difference in people's behavior? If they actually do this?
No. Again, this is one of those things where you already have the label. It's on the back, and now you want to put it on the front. What is it, too hard to flip over your Snickers bar to realize that it's 200 calories that you don't need right now?
Carpal tunnel, man. I mean, just think all the rotating. It's
of all the things to spend time and effort on, I don't think putting the nutrition labels... Now, I actually agree with having nutritional labels, even though it's painful to see sometimes what we're putting in our bodies. I think that's really important, and I think that's really helpful. But now trying to make sure that it is so easy to see when it's already there, I think that's just going overboard.
I don't think it's going overboard at all. I think it is needed, right? One of the best things that places, Starbucks does it, you see that sandwich or you see that muffin and it's like, yo, okay, this is how many calories it's going to be. The reason why I bring up the muffin, because the muffin, so check this out, y'all.
That's
in the
silent
90s.
Silent assassin.
Thank you, right? In the 90s, people are like, what'd you have for breakfast? Oh, you know, I'm just going to eat healthy. I'm just going to have a muffin and a latte. I'm going to eat healthy. It was during that time. Yo, do you know what the muffin did to America? You know what the muffin did? I believe this would help so much. You know how many times that you've actually turned on the back and you looked at that like, I was going to get this for lunch, but I'm not going to. Sometimes it is really good to be plastered right there. And it says 425 calories for this little sandwich, or 890 calories for this sandwich. Or when you pull up the Burger King now, you pull up the Burger King and it says, hey, it is 1300 for this sandwich.
I know. You
feel
can be
me?
Anywhere from 1300 to 1800. Fries, blessings or no blessings.
I think this will make a difference, and we have a model of how this has worked in the past. There are a number of countries that have mandated that you put the warnings on cigarette packs right on the front. And there's actual data that it shows people's behavior changes when you put the warning right on the front. I mean, look, if you put on the top of every single peanut butter jar in America, this one tablespoon of peanut butter has, 2,000 calories in it, because we all know that one tablespoon of peanut butter, the serving size, is just a ridiculous amount of calories. People would think twice about just sticking the spoon in the jar and eating the whole thing. I believe our behavior does change when we're more informed.
Yeah.
Yes, it's not difficult to turn over a package. However, if it's going to be displayed front forward, we cannot help but see that information. information. Now, do I welcome this move? No, because I don't want to be shamed by what I'm eating. I don't want to know that my ice cream has 500 calories because the serving size is, you know, half cup. That's not a serving size.
I know. Oh,
half
my
cup
gosh.
Is not a
Who
serving size.
Who stops at a half cup? Okay. I may concede this one.
Scrape the bottom.
You can see this one.
I'm going to concede this one. I can see because as you pointed out and 425 also pointed out, when cigarette manufacturers moved the warning to the side of the box or made it very visible, it's true. It does stop you in your tracks.
It does.
Yeah.
Now, I want to take something from Texas Freight, which is something that I was getting ready to make a point about. Texas 2006, that somebody was like, yeah, but you know that's per serving, right? And there was 4 servings in that bag. I did not understand the servings part because it was so small. I only went with the big number and I didn't. Oh, by the way, there's 4 servings in this bad boy. So I hope you guys are counting the servings in those deals.
Okay, can I just say, 360, thank you for making me feel better. Hey, Ursula, I also bought a guitar for myself, and the YMCA added guitar lessons, including with my membership. Thank you for that tip.
It's like they've studied the demographic. What do people really want to get into? Oh, study music, go to the gym. Yeah, we'll make those
every
together.
Intention.
Chris in Seattle says, you think a warning is going to stop me from sitting down and eating a half a jar of peanut butter with the spoon?
Okay, last week we talked about how rude people in Seattle are. We rank ourselves the 13th rudest in the nation, but it turns out even if we're kind of rude, people in Seattle are not that profane. A new survey put Seattle in the bottom 10 metros for swearing. According to Preply, Seattleites swear an average of 18 times a day, whereas the national average is 21. Check this out. Columbus, Ohio ranks number 1. People swear on average they're 36 times per day out swearing in the city.
No, okay, well...
Do we even believe this study?
Well...
Don't bring that up, Ursula.
Okay,
we're bringing
sorry.
This up as if
okay,
it's fact.
Okay.
I believe the study as far as the Pacific Northwest compared to the Midwest. How about that? In the Midwest, you get cussed out all the time. And out here, when I moved here... I found myself swearing less when I moved here as opposed to when I was living in the Midwest. Now, Chef, since I've been around you, I ain't gonna lie, man. I'm not a follower, but for somehow, some way, you have made me, Ursula can agree, attest to this, you've made me swear more. But overall, here, Seattle area, compared to the rest of the country, there's some nice people here. They're not as rude as here as they are in other parts of the country. It's truth.
I will agree with that part of it. You know, you've heard about the Seattle Nice, but aren't there studies that say when you swear, it's actually a sign of intelligence?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, very, very smart people swear. You're getting smarter.
That's why the Pacific Northwest, that's why I believe that they swear less here, because I believe people here in this region are smarter than the rest of the country.
But it's a sign of intelligence, so we should be swearing more over here.
Oh no, I thought it was if you swear more, you have less words.
No, that's the classic knock on swearing, is that if you swear, it's a sign that you're not very smart. However, studies have shown that people who use more swear words tend to score higher on IQ tests. My whole issue with this, aside from the fact that you're accusing me of giving you somehow a contact high when it comes to your use of profane language, that is not a thing, by the way, is the fact that the half of us admit that we will just use substitute words for swearing, right? Like fudge or fudgesicle or shoot or frick or frickin', right?
Yeah.
Or even Rick Riz's famous holy smokes.
Oh, now, I've started saying holy smokes.
Seriously?
A lot more recently. Thank
okay.
you, Rick.
Yeah. My problem with that is even if you think you are not swearing, when you use a replacement swear word, you are using the exact same inflection. You are using the exact same tone.
Yeah.
You mean to use the swear word, but somehow if you replace one letter in the word, somehow that makes it socially
yes.
acceptable. I think that's bunkus.
Did you just make up that
yeah,
word?
Yeah, he did. Yes, he did, Ursula. Every damn day he does that.
Wait a minute. You're swearing.
every day. He makes up, but that was a made up word. And right when he said it, I said to myself, oh, he just made that word up. Chef, you make that up?
Yeah, it just came out of my head.
Yeah.
I couldn't say the other one.
I want to blame Chef for, you know, the occasional F-bomb that I might throw around. But no, I can't blame anyone. That preceded Chef. I don't know. There's certain things that just take out the stress in life.
Uh-huh.
And it's weird how sometimes a four-letter word will do it.
I think you guys are just getting liberated in your old age.
Okay. Before we get, Chef, the F word is something that I really did not say. This is all you, Chef. I really did not use the F word.
Chef worked in kitchens. I think that's just the way they talk, right?
Chef has the worst.
I mean, it's just,
do you swear like this at home? No, I bet you don't. I bet you don't swear around your parents like that. And by the way, Gen X and baby boomers, no matter how many bills you pay, tell me that you swear. I don't even swear around. I don't swear around my parents. Do you, Ursula, you swear around your parents?
One time I sweared and I got a spanking. Not as an adult, but there's certain things I just don't say around my parents.
And I bet you as an adult, you don't swear around your parents.
Yeah.
See? We was getting spanked. That's what happened. That's why we scared to cuss around our parents. Coming up next on the Gene Ursula Show, we get introduced to a new Seahawk that is on that team, defensive end Bam Johnson. Gene Ursula.
To the Gene Ursula Show, and every week before the Seahawks game, we get a chance to introduce you to a new player. Interviewing them is a lot of fun for us, and hopefully you enjoy it as well.
Our guest today played his college football at North Carolina A&T, drafted by the Buffalo Bills, was recently, about a month ago, picked up by the Seattle Seahawks. And if you guys have been watching, or if you haven't been watching, my man has been making plays. Daryl Johnson, good morning, brother. How you doing?
Good. How you doing? How about yourself?
I'm good. Thank you, guys. Thank you for being on with us. But real quick, I was calling you by your government name. I heard they call you Bam. How did you get that name?
You know, the name came from when I was younger. My dad gave it to me. Flintstones was one of the big things. If you ever watched the Flintstones.
Yes. Bam Bam. Bam.
Yeah, I got that tattoo of that on my arm, but I guess that kind of, you know, was kind of like me growing up as a baby, as a little kid, and it kind of just transferred into football, just hitting people, and then, you know, that name just kind of stuck ever since then.
All right, well, it's Bam now on the show. All the listeners and everybody going to call you Bam now. But wait a minute, Bam. You was a big baby, huh?
Yeah, I was pretty big. Yes, sir.
So you have been here for just a little bit, but I want to get your impressions of Seattle. So how do you feel about being in the city?
I wouldn't want to be nowhere else. It's a great place to be. You know, the guys, the coaching staff, everybody, you know, just took me right in. And like I was family, like I've been here for 3 or 4 years, but I just love it, the team, the brotherhood that we have, and, you know, Coach Pete is a great coach.
And, Daryl, what is your favorite thing about football? Why do you love it so much?
I just like to hit people, I guess.
Hey, you can tell he's getting comfortable because he's starting to tell the truth right now.
Yeah, that's the only time you can, you know, can hit somebody legally is on the football field. So, I mean, you could take some of the anger out, you know, that you have, or anything that you need to brush off your shoulder. You could just wait to Sunday. So you just hold it on in, and then when Sunday come, you let it all out. And then that next morning, you're just feeling great.
Well, Bam, you about to be the G and Ursula show. You about to be one of our favorites. We're going to adopt you as we're going to have everybody on the show, everybody listening. Bam Johnson, Bam, 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 just like on the Flintstones, all that. But I want to go inside of the facility because I know a lot about that facility that you practice. I've been connected with this organization almost 20 years, brother.
Oh, wow.
So I like to ask little questions. Now, let's be real. One of the best things about inside of the building in which you're in is breakfast time. Now, my guy Stu is the guy that usually gets you guys, make sure you get your personal. What do you be having for breakfast? What do you have personally made for you for breakfast?
Shoot, I just eat the normal. You know, I'm still learning my way around and still trying to figure out things. So I just kind of eat the normal eggs and cheese, a little bit of bacon. You know, I go over there to the little waffle, cooker, and yeah. I also have me a little cup of coffee, not too much, but just a little bit, because you know
you put sugar in your coffee, or you have it black.
Yeah, I'm a sugar guy. I'm a sugar guy, but I know it's better to just have it, you know, black, but I can't do it. I tried it, and it's just disgusting.
Well, tomorrow morning, you need to go ask for Stu. Ask Stu. Like, Stu, they told me I can get a personal breakfast made for me. You got to come on, Bam. You got to start going to get your breakfast made for you.
Yeah, I'm going to learn. You just taught me something. I didn't even know about Stu, so you taught me something.
Oh, there you go. Okay, Darryl, I like to end our show with words to live by. Something that you live by every day. Do you have a motto or a saying or a philosophy that you live by?
I always say, you know, when I pray, God didn't bring me this far to let me down. So that's just one of my go-to every prayer things, and that's what I go by. I know he did. Whatever happens, the uncontrollables, I can't control. Just control what you can control and let God take care of everything.
Bam Johnson, we appreciate your time, sir. Man, all the best to you. Good luck on that football field. I just want to let you know, when you get big time and you start really doing it, you got to come back on the G and Ursula show because we have adopted Bam, Bam, Bam on the show.
Yes, sir. I got you. Appreciate it.
All right. That is Bam Johnson. Take care, brother.
All right. You too.
And the Seahawks face the Detroit Lions this Sunday at 10 in the morning. Okay, I know there are a couple parts about the interview that some people may question. For example, his answer to what do you love about the game of football? And he says, I love to hit. Do you know that when my son answered that same question exactly the same way, I was just mortified? Like, it's not about the camaraderie. Like, you love being able to hit.
Right.
And I was like, I didn't raise you to be that way.
but he's a boy.
No. But when you've gone out to the football field, and some of you guys have been to practice, and you've seen all the practices, there are some kids that really like to be aggressive, and there are some kids that don't like to be aggressive. Believe it or not, my oldest son did not like to be as aggressive as his younger brother. You know what I mean? So everybody chooses different. I will say, I want to talk about this angle of it because I know that maybe that Seahawk is not somebody that you have heard of before. And of course, again, he is new. But here's one of my favorite things about talking to new Seahawks, new players, rookies that have just come into the league. Here's my favorite thing about it. It is this isn't disrespectful towards those guys that have been in the league for a long time. But when they're in the league for the first time, they're so happy. They're so appreciative. It's such a, like, they enjoy doing interviews. And like I said, this isn't against the guys that have been in there a long time. But after you've been interviewed 1,000 times, after 1,001 times, you're like,
You have your pat answers.
Yeah, exactly. And I just remember a lot of these guys when they were rookies. I remember what they were like when Richard Sherman was a rookie, when Doug Baldwin was a rookie. All of these guys, when they were rookies, I remember when Mike Bennett was a rookie in 2009. He did not make the team here. He got cut, but I remember him. He was just all nice and just eyes wide open. So anyways, I love talking to these guys when they're brand new. Coming up next on the G and Ursula Show, we hear you. And of course, Ursula will have words to live by. It is Gene Ursula. If you're looking at us on the text stream and you want to know what's got us animated, we're sitting here talking about the greatest potato chips of all time. What is your favorite potato chips? Text us, 888-973-5476. Mine, it's a tie. Barbecue chips or jalapeno.
Is it a particular brand of barbecue chips?
I ain't picky. Lay's.
Yeah, I love them.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Jalapeno, man. Chips Cascade jalapeno, especially when you
Cascade?
Use them as a scoop. Scoop for your macaroni and cheese and you eat them together.
I don't know who is over there at Cascade, but Cascade, y'all know y'all be making a jalapeno chip. Okay, Ursula, start off with the text messages.
Okay, on the topic of Seattle not being that big on swearing, 253 says, my ex was Mormon. She would always use phrases like, gosh darn it, or Cheez-Its Christ. I would always turn to her and ask her if she really thought she was fooling God.
425 says, my mom never swore, ever. When I was in my 30s, my dad was in critical condition for a week in the ICU, and my mom was trying to get a hold of my aunt on the payphone in the waiting room. After several attempts to use her credit card for a phone call, she slammed down the phone receiver and dropped the loudest F-bomb. I don't think I've ever laughed so much in a stressful situation in my life after I picked my jaw up off the floor.
253 says, swearing is like seasoning when you're cooking. People who are bad at it overuse it. People who are good at it know when and where to sprinkle it on just the right amount.
I think that wins. That was really good. Are gym memberships a waste of money? 425 says, some people actually achieve their aspirations and stick to the goals they set for themselves. Thank you very much.
And I am inspired by you, 425. But Cindy from Bothell is my spirit animal. Ursula, don't feel bad about that guitar. We have a pandemic ukulele.
The White House wants to put nutrition labels on the front of their package. Chris in Seattle says, you think a warning is going to stop me from sitting down and eating a half a jar of peanut butter with a spoon? Uh-uh.
And Carrie in Bonnie Lake says, muffins are just cake for breakfast.
The Mariners are one win away from the playoffs. Jen from Puyallup says, literally tears in my eyes knowing the Mariners are going to the playoffs. I'm a diehard M's fan.
Love that for Jen. The mayor's missing texts were manually deleted, according to new details in a lawsuit. Rob, our friend who is the retired Puyallup police officer, says the thing Seattle should do now is set up a way of capturing all text messages and storing them in a manner which wouldn't allow anyone to delete them. With the amount of tech-savvy folks in this area, I would think it would be pretty straightforward. Once that's set up, it should carry a significant and specific penalty for a violation. We may not be able to deal with what we all know happened, but we can keep it from happening again. Well said.
Olympia Woman's HOA wants to issue daily fines for a BLM sign in her home. 206 says, I've never been in a HOA where it wasn't run by a zealot. And 90% of them I've heard of, some of the most egregious and idiotic policies ever. They show ways we're supposed to keep the neighborhoods nice, not make hell for other people just because they want to live in their homes.
Rachel says, I run the HOA in my little neighborhood of 8 homes because no one else wanted to help. But over the past 10 years that I've been doing this, we've had people move into the neighborhood who are legit scared when they meet me because they've had such bad experiences in the past with difficult HOAs. Luckily, I'm pretty easygoing with ours, so outside the occasional neighbor squabbles that happen every now and then over petty stuff, for the most part, it's been okay.
By the way, I think HOAs where there's a cul-de-sac, I think it's easier. Scenarios. I yelled at the neighborhood kid for blowing out my son's birthday candles. He's scared of me now. Rob says, when I was a kid, I hopped in my friend's dad's truck and put my feet on the dash. My friend's dad swatted my feet and told me to get my blank feet off the dash. I never put my feet on anyone's dash ever again.
And I love that Rob was a cop for many, many, many years.
Yes.
I love it.
All right, Ursula.
Okay.
it's time for Words to Live By, brought to you by Wilcox Farms.
And this is about kindness. Kindness is giving hope to those who think they're all alone in this world. Kindness is seeing the best in others when they can't see it for themselves. Kindness is something anyone can give without losing anything themselves. And kindness, of course, is not what you do, but who you are.
Not what you do, but who you are. Good stuff, Ursula.
Thank you so much for another great week, all of you. I hope you have a fantastic weekend. Stay with us. The Dory Monson Show is coming up next, and we're going to be back on Monday.
Yeah. Real quick, before I throw it to Nick, Casey just texted in and said Fritos. Listen, I've never in my life met anybody that said Fritos was their favorite chips.
Those are like the last ones to be picked.
Every single time. You ever have a box of chips? The last ones that are left is a bunch of Frito bags. That's how I know it's such an unpopular chip.
Except for the chili cheese ones. Those are good.
They make great fire starters if you're camping.
And by the way, I'm going to say this one and I'm going to throw. If sour cream potato chips are your favorite, I don't know what to tell you. What is wrong with you?
What's wrong good with too. You? And my controversial one is Pringles, but that's for another week.
Nick, what do you got, buddy?
Well, we all should know the talk of the town that's turning a 21-year frown upside down. It's not a gym membership you bought without a care, or even the sub sandwich that Russ would share, but it's the Mariners. Yes, the M's giving us joy for a fan base of gems. Now, before we end the drought to have some fun, the magic number clock strikes one. So let's go M's, whether rooting in the north or the south, but for crying out loud, gee, watch your mouth.
Okay, for everybody at home and is listening, if you're wondering, wow, Nick came with it today, that's because he has a haircut. The only reason.
Thank you for the compliment, by the way. I appreciate it.
I always, it's the haircut. All right.